Hey everyone, this is Megan. Preparing for my VBA 2C was pretty lonely at times. This is why I, along with Julie, created a Facebook community for all the parents preparing for their VBACs. You can find the link to the community in the episode notes today, or head over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link Community. This is our safe space to share our stories, tips, and advice on how to achieve a VBAC and ask each other questions. Just remember, studies show 60 to 80% of people who attempt a VBAC will be successful. We're here for each other on this journey. To join, go over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link Community and start feeling the love and support today. Welcome, welcome, everybody. We have our friend Katie with us today sharing her two VBAC stories. And before we got started, you know, we were kind of talking about once you have that C-section and you're like kind of contemplating having a VBAC and you talk to people and they're like, wait, you can't do that. Doctors won't let you do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what have we learned? What have we learned over all the years? Yes, we can. And yes, you can. Women of Strength, if you are listening and you've had one C-section and you're wanting to know your options, we're going to share two stories today. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Katie, you guys, she is the host of a podcast called, is it Burnt Pancakes? Is that
right? Burnt Pancakes, yep.
Tell us more about that.
Okay, so when I became a mom, my oldest son was potty training and it was an absolute disaster. That's probably the point in motherhood I felt like the absolute worst. He had a tendency to poop his pants whenever we were at my friend's backyard, running around and playing. And so one day he had this awful mess and I was cleaning it up. I was frustrated. I was like, oh my gosh, he's never going to get it. My friend looked at me and was like, Katie, don't worry about it. Everyone burns their first pancake. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
That just made me feel so validated as a mom. So fast forward about 8 years and I decided to start my own motherhood podcast and I named it Burnt Pancakes because we're all figuring out this thing as we go.
I love that so much. It's so true. I mean,
They say, I'm still figuring it out.
I know. I mean, every day. And it's like, as soon as I feel like I've started figuring out motherhood, parenthood, all of that, it starts to change on me. And I'm
right.
Like, well,
they throw you for a loop.
Yes. I'm like, dang it. So if you can relate here, like go listen to her podcast and it's just called Burnt Pancakes and you're everywhere.
Burnt Pancakes. We have momversations each week. I love to just chat with moms. One of my favorite things to do was just meet a mom at a park and just like hit it off and start chatting. So that's what I wanted my podcast to feel like. Real moms chatting about motherhood.
Real moms chatting about motherhood. And then maybe was the inspiration between that whole experience with your son lead you to also potty training consulting.
Correct. So at the time I was teaching, I taught for 17 years. It was potty training my first son, absolute disaster. But then fast forward to, I have two more kids, potty trained them. Things got easier. I started feeling very confident in my skills. People started asking me for tips and I decided to become a full-time potty training consultant. So now I actually help moms with the potty training process, which blows my mind because if you had asked me 8 years ago, would you be doing this? I would have said, heck no, I have no clue what I'm doing. But what I'm trying to do is help moms who were in the same shoes I was in. Like, you can do this. I can help you get through it. I have the answers for you that I didn't have back then.
Yeah, that's like exactly how we are here at the VBAC Link. We were in the thick of it. It was mm-hmm. a rocky journey. There was a lot of unknowns. And if you asked me 8-9 years ago if I was going to be doing a podcast sharing VBAC stories, I probably wouldn't have said yes. I'd probably been like, what? I don't, probably not.
No way.
And
no
here
way.
We are, right? Inspiring, encouraging. So I'm so excited for you. So tell us where people could find you for potty training, because I'm sure a lot of people listening right now, yes, especially if you're pregnant, you probably have a toddler as you're preparing for your birth.
Yes. So you can find me at my websites. My website is burntpancakes.com. On social media, you can find my potty training information at It's Potty Time.
Okay. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. And I do have a review of the week to share before we get into these stories. This is by the Blanchard Bunch. The Blanchard Bunch says, get pumped. Pumped is in all caps with exclamation point. Says, listening to this podcast just gets me pumped. You've had a C-section and you want a VBAC. Absolutely. You've had two C-sections. You go for that VBAC. Oh, you've had three or four. Go get that VBAC, mama, because you are a queen and 100% capable. Seriously, this podcast not only informs you of all the amazing things our bodies can do, but also you are immediately welcomed into a space of understanding and love. Our bodies are powerful, but sometimes we just need a little help becoming empowered. This podcast does just that. I'm preparing for my VBAC and I'm currently 36 weeks pregnant. I think that all the time what I'd say or share if I were on the podcast, because I am so sure this VBAC is happening. Thank you to all the mamas who have shared their stories, and thank you to Julie and Megan who've created a space for all of these mamas needing to be uplifted and empowered. What a fun review.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Like, it's all caps right here. Go get that VBAC, mama, because you are a queen and 100% capable. I couldn't agree more to the Blanchard bunch. I hope that you've got your VBAC. Congratulations on your birth. And as always, if you have a review, I would love for you to share it. I read them every single week, and they truly do bring me all of the joy.
Oh, I love that.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, Miss Katie, let's turn the time over to you. Let's share these stories.
Okay. Well, my story starts 10 years ago. It's really hard to believe it's been that long, but I was pregnant with my first son and we got the news at like 28-ish weeks that he was breech, which I like at the time didn't even know what that meant. Mm-hmm. It was just a regular appointment and my doctor just nonchalantly was like, oh, he's head up. Okay, you'll probably end up having a C-section. And I was like, whoa, huh? Like come again. Like, first of all, what's head up? I don't know.
28 weeks?
Yes. Yes. Dang. Crazy. And she made it just seem like no big deal. But for me, it was like, so I'm a taller girl. I'm 5'9". I've always had bigger hips, nice pear shape. And so I always thought one day these hips are going to like serve a purpose. Like when I'm giving birth, these things are going to come in handy. And my instant thought was, my body is not going to be able to do that. Like, how can you just drop that on me and not like feel anything? So she basically said, most babies won't turn. There's a chance he could turn, but you might just end up having a C-section. And, you know, I was like, well, is there a chance? What's this? And she's like, you know, you can try something to turn him, but that's just kind of the way it
no
was.
No offering of like an ECV or anything like that in time.
As the weeks went on, she kind of mentioned it, but it was like for her, she's like, I've been doing this for years. Most of the time I don't see him turn. So like she just made it seem like a C-section was like totally cool, totally normal. And I was like, what? How can this be? So I did try almost everything to get him to turn. At the time I was taking a yoga class. Side note, Drew Barrymore was in my yoga class.
Oh my gosh.
Like, okay, looking at you right now, I'm like,
oh my,
much like her.
Okay, just, I've been told that yes. For so many years. Drew Barrymore and Winona Ryder, everybody. Apparently, totally. Those two people I look like.
When you hopped on the call, I was like, oh my God, you look like Drew. And she, like, I tried to play it super cool because at the time we were living in LA and I was like, oh my God, Drew Barrymore is right next to me. And she even like said something to me like, oh, hey, mama. I'm like, oh my God. I tried to play it so cool. But anyways, in that yoga class, all the moms were like, you need to go see this chiropractor. You need to try this, like super supportive. So I did go see a chiropractor and I had like, I forget what they called the procedure, but it was like massaging your hip flexors really, really hard. I don't know why that makes
Sounds
him turn. It
painful.
was like loosening some ligament to make them turn.
Like your round ligaments and stuff?
Yes, I believe that's what it was. Extremely painful. And the physical therapist or the chiropractor at the time was like, "You're going to do great in birth because you have excellent pain management or like pain tolerance." And I was like, "Okay, thank you." He did not turn. I did. At the time, there was a website called, I think, Flipping Babies or Spinning
Spinning
Babies,
babies, they're
Spinning
still in.
Babies. Okay. I literally Googled everything to get him to turn. I laid on my couch with my hips up. I had my husband sing to me, "Turn around," like over and over, did everything. He did not turn. So in April, they were like, "Okay, here's your scheduled C-section appointment." Still, like, I at least had time to prepare for the C-section. It wasn't like an emergency. I like took all the notes of like tips to do to like help recover. So in that sense, I felt prepared and I got to like be at peace with the fact that I wasn't delivering vaginally. But it was still weird when they were like, "April 26th, that's going to be the day you come in." I'm like, "You're picking his birthday. Like, what if he's not ready at 39 weeks to come?" And then 2 days before, "Oh, hey, the doctor has an opening on the 25th. So we're going to take you the 25th. And I was like, I called my husband, "They're changing it to Friday." Like, it's a lot. Like,
It's a weird feeling for them to be like, hey, you are going to have your baby this day around this hour.
Yeah. And it was earlier than the due date. So it
Originally.
just felt
Yeah.
really
Was it a
weird.
week before?
It was a week before. Yeah. He was born 39 weeks, one day. And I still wonder, like, his sign. I can't remember which one it is, but the sign that he was actually born on is not what he could have been born. And it just doesn't match up. Like, he seems more like a Taurus than a this. And I'm like, is it because I
Interesting.
picked, or I didn't pick, they chose when you were gonna come? So
Interesting.
we showed up that Friday for the C-section. And of course, it was like, I got to do my hair. I got to take a shower. So that was nice. But you show up at the hospital, they're like, "Okay, you're our 8 o'clock appointment. Cool." And you're like, "Am I checking into a hotel here? Like, we're giving birth." Never once felt a contraction, which I was kind of, I mean, it's weird to say I was sad that I didn't feel that because later I learned what that feels like. And I'm like,
Well,
"Oh, that was fun."
yeah, it sounds weird, but at the same time, it's this natural feeling that we've been taught that and told that our body does. And so you kind of mourn that.
I want to feel it. And that was it. I was mourning the fact that my body wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And a weird thing, so we did the hospital like birthing class and it was 4 hours. They talked about C-section maybe 5 minutes of the whole class, but then they said 3 out of 4 people will have a C-section. That's like the statistics from the hospital. And I was like, "Oh, well, that's not going to be me," because this was before I knew he was breech. "That's not going to be me." But I'm like, why would you spend only 5 minutes if 75% of us end up with a C-section? Like, how's that possible? So it just, yeah, it felt weird. But I did go in somewhat prepared. It still felt very sterile and scary. And but we had him via C-section. He's totally healthy. There were extra doctors in the office or in the operating room just because he was breech. So there were like four pediatricians. My husband was like, the room was filled. It was pretty crazy, but he was healthy. He was fine. Everything turned out great. I do feel like with the C-section, though, I was completely out of it for like 24 hours. I don't remember my parents coming, vaguely remember, but my husband's like, "Your mom and dad were here." And I was like, "Oh gosh, they were." Like, I vaguely
That's how
remember
I
it.
was too. I was
Yeah.
in and I was out.
Yes, I didn't breastfeed him for like the first hour until they got me to the other room and they're like, "Oh, well, were you planning on breastfeeding?" I didn't know that I could like breastfeed him in like the first few minutes. Like, it just, I wasn't aware. So the recovery for that was a lot harder. Just getting out of bed to go to the bathroom the first day was like excruciating, but we were fine. I recovered from it, all good. So then, moving 3 years forward, we got pregnant with our second kid. I found out I was having a second boy, which, for anyone who has experienced gender disappointment, It's a real thing, and it's totally okay to mourn the loss of a daughter or just feel unsure about the gender of your baby. I remember crying. Like, I got home from the ultrasound and just like bawling because I was like, this was my girl. Like, where is she? It's a boy. So it did take me a couple months after he was born before I was, feeling pretty good with it. But that's a normal feeling. And I think no one really talks about that. But it was a totally normal pregnancy. What we discovered from my first one was that I had very low water fluid in my amniotic sac. So they said that could have been the reason. My second son, I definitely didn't have that because I put on about 40 pounds and was much bigger. I was able to stay super active during that pregnancy, doing boot camp and lifting weights till like the last month. We moved from LA to Orange County. So I had to get a different doctor for this pregnancy. And the doctor I saw like from day one was like, if you want a VBAC, we can absolutely go ahead and try that. She actually more encouraged it. Everything I had heard when I had the C-section was your son was breech, so that doesn't mean you can't deliver naturally in the future. But a lot of hospitals and doctors were kind of hesitant about it. So this doctor was like, no, I don't see any reason why you can't try. You do have to sign your life away, pretty much. Like, I had to sign a thing saying, these are all the things that could happen. And that's like
And I'm
terrifying.
accepting that.
Yes. And it's my liability here. Like, the doctors are off the hook, but she was very supportive about it, never like made me feel like I couldn't do it. So his pregnancy went just fine. I went into labor naturally right before the 39-week one day mark. So my son came naturally. I actually had him on 39 weeks one day, exactly the same as the C-section. So it kind of like made me feel a little bit better. Like, I didn't take my older son too early. I was always worried, like, did I take him out too early? I did have a lot of baby blues, a little bit of postpartum with my first. And sometimes I wondered, was it because of the C-section? I don't know if there's any
Could
science
have.
behind that. Like, he wasn't ready to come yet. And
You
I don't
guys
know.
didn't have your bonding, your body didn't
Right?
naturally go into
Yep.
labor. There's a lot of things that
All of
could
that
play,
ran through my
right?
mind. Yes. Yeah.
But even those who spontaneously go into labor sometimes still get those
Totally.
postpartum
Yeah. Yeah.
depression and baby blues.
Absolutely. So went into labor, and this one was about 36 hours. It was very long. I didn't realize that a few hours into getting contractions, my water actually broke. I thought I peed myself. So I was sitting at home laboring, and things were just taking forever. I was having like regular contractions. They weren't as close as I thought they were supposed to be. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if other moms feel this, but when you go into labor, it's almost like you just go into the zone and it's like, I'm just doing this thing. My husband's like, should we call the doctor? I was like, no, not yet. Like, I don't think we're supposed to. I was just kind of like in the thing.
The
Looking
focus,
back,
your focus
yeah.
shifts.
Looking back, I should have called the doctor like the minute I went into labor just to like check, get tabs, like figure out like when should I go in. But I was just like, no, like we got to keep waiting. I don't feel like I'm ready to have him yet. Finally got to the hospital like hours and hours later. And they were like, oh, your water broke a while ago. So ended up being in labor with him very long, ended up pushing for like an hour and a half. And I do remember at one point they said, okay, if we can't get him out, we will have to go and do a C-section. And that was like, no, like I really, really wanted this. I didn't do a whole lot of preparing. With the first one, we did the classes, I did research, but this was kind of like, I'm just gonna go in and just trust my gut. Like, I'm just gonna see what happens. I was totally prepared that if it was gonna be a C-section, I knew what to expect, but I really wanted to see if my body could do it. So there was something like, I remember the nurse kept saying, you gotta keep your eyes open when you push. And for me, it just felt so unnatural to like, keep my eyes open. Like, I just wanted to scrunch up. She's like, relax your face and keep your eyes open. And I'm like, that doesn't feel right. But I think my son had a giant head. He still to this day has a larger head than my oldest son. And it just was hard to get him out. But he finally came out. I gave birth to him, was able to like walk around so much quicker. And The recovery was a lot better. I did end up having a third degree tear. So it's not like vaginal birth is less damaging than a C-section. I have scars from both
not
kids.
Always.
But it was so nice to know, like, I know what it feels like to go through it. I had an epidural with him, like, I think I was maybe 5 or 6 centimeters. So it's not like I ever got to like crazy intense contractions, and I like didn't feel anything when I was pushing. So part of it was like, I didn't feel anything when I was pushing. I think that was kind of hard because I didn't feel anything to get him out. So,
and sometimes that can play into tearing, actually, weirdly enough. And then the lack of ability to push position, if we're in that back crunch position, we're putting more pressure. So if we do have a baby with a little bit larger head or is having a harder time coming out, which, by the way, first time moms, you guys, 36 hours, an hour and a half of pushing, it's crazy, but
it's
it can
normal.
Be very normal. Yeah.
It's so normal. I think what was hard for me was I looked at the clock when I started pushing, because I had friends who were like, oh, I pushed for this long. And with my third, I decided, don't look at the clock. Don't think about how long it's going to take. It's just going to take as long as it needs to be, because like it was like an hour of pushing. And one thing that was kind of scary is his heart rate would go down every time I push. So they were like, this could be dangerous. So another thing was like, we might have to get him out sooner. So they would have me push for a contraction and then wait on a contraction. So it was literally like 6 minutes in between pushes. It just took a long time.
Hi, birth workers. This one's for you. In an ideal world, VBAC parents would be treated just like any other birthing parents. In today's world, most medical providers sadly don't fully support VBAC parents. However, 90% of parents with a prior cesarean are good candidates to attempt a VBAC. This is why we have created the Advanced VBAC Doula Certification Program. In this doula course, we share evidence-based data for you to educate your clients, teach you the tools on helping them how to process past fears and trauma, or helping them decide if VBAC is even right for them. You will feel better prepared to support them during this beautiful experience. All VBAC certified doulas are listed on our website so parents know who you are. To learn more, go to thevbaclink.com.
But he was a healthy little boy and all was good. We thought we were going to have 2 kids. Everything's wonderful. And then like a year later, my husband's like, okay, are we ready to get rid of the baby clothes? I'm like, actually, I don't think we're done yet. Part of me still wanted a girl, but I just did not feel like our family was complete.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest feeling because we had always said, oh, we're going to have 2 kids. Like, you know, we got a 3-bedroom house. We've got, you know, it just made sense. And then we both decided, we had like a little talk. If we were to have another kid and it ends up being the boy, are you okay with that? And we were both like, yes, I feel like 3 is what's going to make our family complete. And I was a little bit older. So at the time I was 38. So I'm like, if we want a third, let's try for it in this year. If not, like, that's a sign. So we did get pregnant with a third. I did not find out what I was having on this one because I was like, I have a feeling it's going to be a boy and I don't want to feel that disappointment again while I'm pregnant. And if it is a girl, like what a fun surprise to wait and find out. So we didn't find out, but I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but I had dreams about having a boy. Like my mom gut was like, you're going to be okay with another little boy. So I kind of knew, but I still wanted to wait. So this pregnancy, it went fine. My middle, I was like all for like working out and going to boot camp and felt really great. This one, I was like, I've got 2 kids and I am exhausted. And I like put on more weight than I ever had. I like could not move around. I hurt the most. Like I had the worst pelvic bone
SPD
pain. I have no idea.
Pubic symphysis.
Probably, but I did not really speak up. I told my doctor, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling some pain. And she's like, that's normal during pregnancy. And I was like, now looking back, I know people who saw a chiropractor during pregnancy.
Yes.
And I'm like,
or even
that's
pelvic
what
floor.
That's what I needed. Because for a year after having him, I would get pain when I'd walk. And I'm like, I wish I had known that there was something I could do about that. So if you are feeling pain, speak up, because I could have done something about it. But With this one, was very large. I was ready to have them. I got to that 39-week mark and I was like, he's coming, or he or she is coming. I know it's any day now. And then my due date hit and he was not there yet. The doctor was like, oh, you're already dilated. It's coming soon. But she stripped my membrane and was like, oh, a day or two, you're going to have them. But let's just schedule an induction in case. So we get to 41 weeks, still not having a baby. And having two at 39 weeks and then having to wait to 41 was an eternity. It felt like the longest wait ever. And I think this was like God's way of saying, like, you're done now. Like, you're good. Because I remember feeling like I never want to be pregnant again. I am never giving birth again. This is the last time. And I felt very complete with that. Whereas the second one, it was like, is this really the last time I'm going to carry a baby? Is this the last time I'm going to give birth? So it felt really nice. And I was still seeing the same doctor that I had with my middle son. So she was on board. She actually told me that if you've done a VBAC and then you have another one, it's not considered a VBAC. Is that what you've heard, or?
No, it's still considered a
Okay,
VBAC,
that's what I thought.
but your risks go
Oh,
down. Your risks
yes.
go up for vaginal birth and down for things like uterine rupture.
Okay.
But you're still considered a, you're,
That's why I was like, well, I
unfortunately,
had a
you're always going to
C-section.
be a VBAC.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So risk went down. Okay. But she was totally like on board with it. So I had to be induced with this one. So I literally have tried everything. I've had the C-section, I've had, an epidural birth, and I've had an induction. Cannot say one is better. I feel like they're all like part of my birth stories. Each one is special, but I had to do the Foley ball. I had to like almost not get an epidural. I was literally, my water broke a couple hours into the hospital and then a contraction started very fast. And I remember waiting for the anesthesiologist and going like, if he doesn't get here, I'm having this baby. As he was giving it to me, I felt like I needed to push. I was like, and I didn't say anything
Oh.
because I was like, I really want the epidural. But I was literally like, oh my God, I have to push. I have to push. This is so hard. So
Oh
I
my
actually
gosh.
did feel the worst contractions with that because I was literally at the end. Because after he was done, the nurse came in and I was like, hey, can you check me? Because I think I feel like I need a push. And she checked and she was like, let's get the doctor. You're ready. So it was like, epidural and
Yeah.
now time to push. My husband was actually getting food because they weren't allowed, they
Oh.
didn't allow him in the room when I got the epidural. So he's like, I'm gonna go get breakfast. I'm like, cool. And then I'm sitting there like, is he gonna get back in time? Because they were like, let's do a practice push. I'm like, he's not here yet. So I got him out in like one and a half pushes, and there was my third boy. So it was just such a different experience going from,
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to push for 3 hours. This one, I remember thinking, I'm just gonna like let my body do what feels right. I'm not gonna have the nurses tell me, push this way, do that. I'm like, I'm just gonna close my eyes and scrunch my face like they tell me not to do. But it felt so much easier. I don't know, because I remember asking her, I did my practice push and I'm like, did that do anything? She's like, yes, please stop. I need to get my gloves and I need to get this. So he was out and I had my third boy and I would say with the two vaginal births, my recovery was so much easier. Like just hospital-wise, I was able to move around a lot faster. With my middle son, I was able to go to the park with my boys like a week later. Whereas the C-section, I don't think I left my house for the first 6 weeks because I was so just uncomfortable and didn't feel right. But all three births gave me scars, but in a different way, in a different way.
Yeah, I actually really love that you pointed out that even with vaginal birth, there can be extra recovery or extra things because I think sometimes in this world, it's like C-section's bad, C-section's bad, C-section's
Right.
bad, VBAC's amazing, VBAC is wonderful. Okay, absolutely. I believe that VBAC is amazing and wonderful. I do not believe C-section is bad. I do believe that we have way too many unnecessary C-sections, and that is bad.
Right.
So we know, though, that vaginal birth sometimes isn't all sunshine and butterflies. We have
It's
that.
not.
We have tearing. We have Well,
Uh-huh.
2 years. We have pelvic floor dysfunction for the next however long because we pushed for 2.5, 3 hours, or even an hour and a half. And we labored for a really long time and we're really sore or whatever. And then sometimes C-sections can be just the most healing, beautiful experiences for someone. So I love that you pointed that out. And it's just important to kind of remind everybody listening that go with what you feel is best. No, you don't have to schedule a C-section just in case. No, you don't have to do these things. But if you want to, and if that's what feels right, do it. We encourage you.
I absolutely did not have any incontinence problems after the C-section, but after the vaginal birth, now doing jumping jacks and running, different story. Yeah, so
Yes.
it's different.
So I want to talk about that because I also didn't have a lot of incontinence. And it's not even that I have incontinence now, but I have like pressure, stuff like that. And I just went to a pelvic floor specialist and she said, oh crap, what does she call them? My bones, they're birthing bones, like my pelvis, but my pelvis was stuck in a flared state from birth.
Oh,
And
whoa.
she manually closed my bone. Like it was insane. And I could feel it. She was like, oh, it's not giving any give. Like, can you feel it? And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. And then she like worked it, did her PT thing, and
Whoa.
closed these bones. And she said, sometimes people have these bones get stuck open after birth, and it puts a lot of trauma on their pelvic floor, and they have incontinence and they have these things.
Whoa.
And then another thing is she did two other things which blew my mind. I've never had that happen with a pelvic floor specialist before, but my uterus was like really, really hard. And she's like, it should be like, it should move and
Wow.
float within. And so she massaged my uterus and then she went internal and my bladder was adhered from the inside. So even though we have C-sections, women of strength, and you have had vaginal births and everything, if you've had that C-section, the likelihood of you having adhesions or scar tissue in there that may cause pelvic floor issues
Wow.
and incontinence. Anyway, so my bladder was like adhered, and then my cervix, there was a part of my cervix that needed to be released. And she said, I wonder if that's why you had such a long end, because I kept my cervix would stretch, but it wouldn't stay. It would stretch, but it wouldn't stay in it. Or she said, I see this a lot with failure to progress or cervical lips, where there's this thing internally that needs to be released as soon as it was.
Fine.
I can't even tell you the difference of how I feel.
Wow.
And the pressure is really, it's like pretty gone. I would
Wow.
say there's maybe a little, and she even said next visit might need a little bit more tweaking, but I just ran the other day 3 miles for the first time in forever. And usually
Amazing.
after 1 mile, my pelvic floor would just give out.
Yeah.
I did fine.
Don't you wish that was something like every OBGYN was like, okay, you're going to see me and you're going to go here. Or you give birth and it's not like 6 weeks, you're good. Now it's like, oh, now you need to go see this.
Yes. And we're not talked about it with C-sections either. A lot of the times those C-section scars can cause back pain, pelvic intel or pelvic floor, things, urine incontinence, pain during sex, things like that. And we don't even know that it's related to our
No.
C-section because we've never pushed a baby out of our vagina.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's so crazy. So that is something I would highly suggest
Oh,
for
I feel like
anybody.
I know. My youngest is 4, and I'm like, I should finally book that PT consultation and just find out
Yeah.
what's
My
all going
VBAC
on
is,
down there.
yes, my VBAC baby is going to be 8. Well, at this point of this recording is 8. And here I am this year, just
Just
going.
doing it.
I have done physical therapy before in pelvic work, but I've never done it to this extent where I was like, okay, I'm going to get down to the bottom of this and then had results like this fast.
Whoa. Okay, let me ask you a question. Did you go through your doctor or did you just search and find one yourself?
So I did search and find one myself. And the craziest thing is I did call to see if insurance would cover it. They do not. It's all out of pocket. And so, like you said, I feel like this should be a standard thing. No matter C-section or vaginal birth, we should go, it should just be part of our postpartum care. And I actually think it should be part of our prenatal care.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I know someone I know was getting really bad pains. And so she went while she was pregnant to PT. And I was like, that's exactly how I felt, you know, a year ago, because she was having it after me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I wish I had known about that, because that would have really, really helped.
Yeah. So chiropractic care for sure. Pelvic PT. Know that not every birth is going to be amazing and beautiful, but all we can do is prepare and understand and know.
And be at peace with whatever's meant to be. Because like, I look back at my C-section, I tell my husband this all the time. If we had lived on the prairie, I would have died during that breech birth. It would have been almost impossible to deliver him. I did seek out, like, are there any doctors that deliver breech babies? And in LA, there was one, but it just, to me, it just felt a little too risky to like even go down that route. But I, you know, 100 years ago might not have survived childbirth. So the C-section for me was like a lifesaver. It was so like freeing to know that. My first vaginal birth, though, I did have some like complications after. So just because you deliver vaginally doesn't mean you're like piece of cake, it's over. At my 6-week appointment, I remember telling my doctor, something doesn't feel right down there. Like, she's like, oh, I'll check it out. Let me see. I'm like, no, really, like it, something feels wrong. Well, so my labia actually, like part of it fused together. She said there were probably like mini tears.
Stitches.
And it literally was, I was like, I just don't think the hole is big right now. I'm like, and she was like, oh yes, I see what you're talking about. It literally fused together. And she was like a teaching doctor. She worked for a hospital. So she's like, we never see this. Do you mind if I take a picture for my students?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, sitting there with stirrups on, like,
you're like, she's sure. Like,
I won't get your face or to like say your name. But I was like, yes, in the for science. Yes, please take a picture of this. But that was like, I ended up in it, just the hospital visit. She had to like cut it and then solder it back together. So I was able to do it in the hospital or in the doctor's office. It was like a super easy procedure. But that, like, I was numb during that, but the recovery, having a like open wound in that area when you're peeing is not comfortable. That was like, so like being 6 weeks postpartum, feeling like I should be getting back to normal. And then like, oh God, this like,
there's always
not
hurdles.
All roses when you deliver naturally either. But I was happy that like maybe some other mom, because it was extremely embarrassing. I was like, I don't even want to have my husband look or like tell him what this was. But then like being able to share it with a few moms, they're like, why doesn't anyone tell you that stuff like this happens? Like, and thank God for modern medicine, because again, had this been the prairie, I would have never had another child after that.
Might have been too traumatizing. Yeah.
Right?
And it's just so hard to know, and everybody internalizes the processes differently, like their births and their experiences. So do the research, get in your head in a good space, find your provider, you know, do the things and choose the birth that is right for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you again for sharing your stories. Congrats.
Oh,
and
thank
definitely
you.
Go see a pelvic PT.
Yeah, I'm booking one today. It's time. It's time.
It's time. It's time. Women of Strength, I think it's really important that sometimes we forget this. We deserve to give back to ourselves after having a baby. That's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big deal, no matter how you have this baby. And then on top of it, lack of sleep, feeding a baby, all of the things. So remember to give back to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned after my third, it took me 3 kids, that asking for help is like, okay. Because I remember with my first, I felt like, I don't want to ask for help because they're going to think I don't know what I'm doing. And I didn't know what I was doing. By the third, it was like, someone was like, can we start a meal train for you? I'm like, yes, please do. Like, I would like everything. Can we take your kids to the park so you can have some time? Yes, please.
Yep,
let me know what time you're picking them up.
Yes. Yep. Yes. It's okay to say yes. It's okay to take breaks. Oh, well, thank you again so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.